I have had an incredibly challenged week of computer chaos here, you cannot imagine. The reason why our broadcast crashed last week was because the memory of my computer was completely crashed, and I got it fixed, had to replace it. And all of the challenges that were culminating in my computer breakdown were paralleling the way I felt inside. Oh no, Gora, you're missing in action. You're missing in action. Oh, technology. Oh, misery. Oh, misery caused by technology. That's a very interesting concept. The misery caused by technology. Here you are, here one is thinking that this media would bring pleasure. And yet at the same time, it can also bring intense pain when you expect from it this pleasure, and all it does is give you hassles and misery. So that's, I think, fascinating, the way in which pleasure and pain are so intimately entwined around a certain object. It's always about objects, isn't it? Something about objects, these things about objects. They're always so ubiquitous. They're never very clear. They can be very pleasurable, very painful, very boring, very, you have to get more and more of them, strive for them, figure them out, or whatever. But in this particular case, Gora is gone. Hello, everybody. Hi, we're starting all over again. And I would like to start off by wishing Kamala Mulla an absolutely wonderful 50th birthday. So if we can all together just applaud him on his 50th birthday and wish him great success and happiness and love. And you know, it's really something, 50th birthdays. I don't know why. I mean, I think I never remember anybody's birthday. I think I never remember anybody's birthday because I don't want to remember my own birthday. I used to have all these traumas at my birthday. You know, everybody was looking at me and I went, ah! But something about these 50th birthdays, it's like a year when you just have to remember it. So we're remembering Kamala Mulla on his 50th birthday here, and very, very happy that he is with us, and that we can have his friendship and association. Listen, you know, making it to 50 years old and still being sane, that's really an achievement nowadays, I think. And I think this is interesting because 50, I don't know why, it kind of like, you know, even in the Veda, they used to talk about 50 being like the time at which something significant should change in relation to ashrams. But I don't accept that particular understanding of it. I mean to say, though, that this year 50, it's like a new cycle has begun. And if you notice that the title of this lecture is Cycles. And I think it's very significant that the idea of cycles and the idea of going through the first 50 years of your life, it's very related because it's a big cycle completed. And this big cycle is like the youthfulness, all of that youthful energy, this youthful ideas have basically played themselves out to a large extent. And the idea of a new kind of a maturity, a new kind of understanding emerges. It's a time where you start to come face to face with your aging body, a time when you come face to face with the fact that your capacities are gradually reducing. Now, you can deal with this in one of two ways. You can see it as something absolutely horrible and dreadful, or you can see it as another kind of an opportunity. Of course, you could just accept it as just life. the cycles of life as you go from the springtime, where is the birth of the different plants and nature takes birth again, and it is growing and flourishing through summer. And these two seasons, spring and summer, are kind of like from birth to the age 50. And then comes the fall, autumn. And in this season, trees change their color. It becomes very beautiful. People are relieved from the heat, relieved from the heat and passion of having to just grow and do and perform. Winter has its pleasures too. When it's so cold outside, one wants to be inside and embracing the intimacy of the comfort of one's warm and comfortable home. And when one goes outside, one can do maybe some winter thing. We also enjoy the beauty of the snowfall. These cycles are required for the regeneration of life. There's really nothing you can do to change them, but one can rather accept them in a very, shall we say, peaceful way. We accept them in a way as being an opportunity to share our wisdom with younger people, share our experience, share our learning. I mean, we have, even with us today, especially Kamala Mulla, we have so many others who are also listening today who have such a vast experience in life. We have people who have lived a long time, who have enormous experience and actually enormous wisdom. Sometimes we look at older people and we say, oh, they're all old and useless. I see them as, here is this incredible wealth of experience and knowledge, maybe in ways I couldn't possibly imagine. Not everybody has a very exciting kind of a experience to share. Some people have rather down-to-earth, rather what we would call ordinary experiences to share. Yet, these experiences can be so incredibly valuable. These experiences can have, if we seek them out, if we seek to share the wisdom of such people, we can find there may be something there very valuable for us. Sometimes that experience you can share with an older person is their peacefulness, their acceptance. Anybody who has had the good fortune of having a grandmother very near to them when they were a child knows perfectly well that grandmothers are just the best. They spoil you completely. They're just always giving you all kinds of love. Every child should definitely have grandmothers. I know from my own practical experience, nothing better than grandmothers. So we may not understand the value of older persons, but in certain circumstances, older persons become really just so important in our lives. The secret is to understand how to gain that knowledge. The secret is how to see, how to get the essence of their experience. We can see in some persons growing old is a very painful experience. There are some people who have no family, whose family situations were completely disturbed. We've seen people who have lived such lives where their health is so ruined and destroyed. We have seen people who depended totally on their bodily beauty and this bodily beauty has been deteriorated by time. We find that for certain actors or actresses, old age becomes a battle. They need plastic surgery to fix themselves up in different ways, or they maybe just simply retire so that nobody will see them in this horrible situation they're in. I feel kind of a little bit of compassion for such persons because they are so much absorbed in this conception of life that they don't understand the gifts that they have. And if you think of the living entity as being just this beautiful, energetic spirit soul, that being is the same personality. It's just that when we see that personality or see ourselves as products only of our material existence, then we lose the vision of what we actually are. And therefore, these cycles are very valuable. The cycle which brings us to a very high point in our life, maybe in terms of success, maybe in terms of an economic achievement, maybe in terms of an academic achievement, or a sports achievement, or being recognized for some other kind of thing. So these are the high points in life. But these points do not last. They are punctuated moments of time. Moments of time which are very powerful, focused experiences that we never want to forget, which in some cases define the purpose, define the meaning of our lives. And yet, at other times, we will find the cycle goes to the other side of failure, of the lack of any achievement, of feeling that there's a loss in all kinds of ways. This is the other side of the cycle, as the cycle turns. We know this duality of like being happy, being distressful, having health, having disease, being rich, being poor. Yet, it's not that these cycles are dependent totally on the duality, because you can be rich, successful, beautiful, famous, and yet suffering unlimitedly in your life, even to the point of suicide. Because we cannot actually define these successful moments as the best moments. They are parts of cycles, and they are not necessarily related in a one-to-one relationship with our feeling of success, with our feeling of happiness. It is not necessarily so that our situations and our seeming perfection of circumstance relates to our feeling of well-being or even our feelings of love. It is obvious from the spiritual point of view that what it is that makes us have this feeling of well-being, and well-being could be loosely redefined as the being, the existence, feels well, feels complete, feels whole, and therefore feels satisfied in its being. this situation is independent of how old we are, of our energy, of our achievements. This situation is a strictly one-to-one correspondence to our awareness and our connection with ourselves, with the spirit, with our being. Nothing more. So, old age or even youth is basically characterized by a state of mind. Just like age is more or less a number. It's just simply a number you put on a form. How old are you? This number. It doesn't relate to what you are. It doesn't relate to how you feel. It doesn't relate to what you are. And it also doesn't relate to how people see you. I know people who are quite old, and they look young and youthful because they feel that way. They feel youthful inside because they feel themselves to be that spiritual being they are. Now, I've also seen that people who are quite young are also quite burdened. Nobody understands the pain of teenagers. Now, that may sound funny, but a teenager probably experiences the pain of life in such an intense fashion. This pain of growing fast, of the bodily organs all of a sudden maturing, of the sexual organs maturing, of the hormones just pumping out because they're so, the organs of the hormone creation, the endocrine system, is so healthy. And the whole of nature is pushing one towards the reproduction of the species. And how you look becomes the most important aspect of life. Yet at the same time, these same hormones are causing the body to go out of balance in other ways. And all these pimples are flying out of the face. And one is going insane to get rid of them so that nobody will know that how you look bad. And all kinds of problems are there. You've got to look good and you've got to fit in with the crowd so that people think you're popular and you're special. So that boy over there or that girl over there will think you're just perfect so that they will come and want to be with you so that you can live happily ever after and do all the things that perfect people do in a perfect life. And at the same time, you've got to enjoy the pain of being a teenager. It's incredible. Trying to be some kind of ideal that doesn't exist anywhere. And because you're a teenager, you don't know that you're chasing an impossible ideal. And because you're a teenager, you don't have enough experience or understanding to ask older people so that they can give you a proper understanding of what's happening. And even if you ask, and even if they tell you, you don't believe them. In my day, we used to have a saying, don't trust anyone over the age of 30 or something like that. Anyone after a certain age, you just rejected anything they said because they were old-fashioned. So just see, we have this cycle, the teenager the child just wanting to grow up, pushing growth, to become bigger, stronger, like the adults. The child wants to be like mommy and daddy. And the teenager wants to be like the rock stars or the movie stars or the models. Everybody wants to be when this growing up takes place. But can you imagine if growth would simply continue? If you just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, we'd all get so big we'd just crush the planet to dust. We'd grow out to this eternity. There'd be no limit. Can you imagine the mosquitoes, how big they would be? Anyway, growth has to stop. That's nature, because it can't go forever. Now, but once growth has stopped, I mean, that kind of growth, there's also the rejuvenation of the rejuvenation of the cells and the rejuvenation of the body. I have read some scientific reports where the geneticists have found that there are genes and chemical, the scientists, researchers, and certain chemicals which control the aging process, and that they can reverse the aging process, extend the duration of life enormously. Now I think about that, and I understand a little bit more about me, and I have this problem. Like, my main problem is I don't really feel that I have anything I have to achieve. I don't really feel that there's anything I have to work for, any great construction to make, anything to prove to anybody. I don't even have anything to prove to myself. I just read in an interesting book where it said that people who have come to this situation are either one step away from total devastation or one step away from enlightenment. In other words, when you've got nothing to attain, you've got nothing to develop, it's either you think everything is hopeless and it's just devastation, or you're about to be enlightened. Well, I'm not going in either direction right now. And if I do have to go in a direction, I don't want the devastation one, I tell you. But just consider, if I was to live in this condition for hundreds of years, what would be the point? Why would I do it? What would be the point of just living and living and living? For what would I do this? Think about that. And therefore, the reason this aging business and everything has entered into the genetics of our bodies is to allow the cycle to take place. Allow the natural cycles of rejuvenation to take place. Allow us to continue to start anew. Until, perhaps, we get to the point of such deep self-satisfaction that we don't really need to continue a cycle, and we transform to a specific region or realm or dimension where this particular manifestation of the cycle of the physical transformation is not required. For example, in higher planetary systems, other dimensions, other realms, where the evolution of the being is not required to be connected to the physical transformation or the physical kinds of challenges. But there are still challenges. There are still cycles. It's just that the cycles now have a different format to them. Whereas the transformation takes place in the consciousness. Consciousness is very interesting because consciousness is constantly transforming in the sense that it is going through cycles of realization. It's not that our consciousness just goes in a steady situation of growth like this. You will have ups and downs, ups and downs. And then, but the ups and downs are generally moving up, you see? There are these, it is required in consciousness because consciousness is flowing. It's in constantly in a state of flux. And consciousness can move in different ways. Can and does. And will always move in different ways. One thing I've seen in my life within the last few weeks very strongly, I think in the last 2 months specifically, is that I've become very aware, acutely aware, of the pain of others. It's an enormous pain that I'm just feeling all the time. It's got me like on a wire. I feel like just shaken all the time by this pain. It's a very high intensity frequency. It's a pain of people being forced to change, being shaken out of complacency, being shaken out of any static position, having to move, being forced to face reality, and it's causing them to have to shift, the whole huge shift because of pain. Because usually people don't change unless they are forced to change due to some kind of trauma, some kind of pain, some kind of suffering condition. And another thing that I have seen that is very, very, very interesting is that people have become very tired. Very, very tired due to this pain. This condition has made them exhausted. This condition has made them feel extremely exhausted, extremely tired. And this tiredness is manifesting all kinds of changes. Yet here I see in America, while this kind of tiredness and exhaustion is there, people are being pushed because it's an election year and politics is just pumping and problems are pumping all around. Things are breaking and have to be fixed all the time. Yet I see that as an impetus to carefully look at one's life and keep things steady, maintenance, instead of the incredible passion of growth, instead of the passion of destruction. People are forced to look at and embrace that goodness of maintenance, of keeping it together, of keeping it on a steady course. Because maintenance is a product of goodness. And people are going to be forced to live within that quality. Because the passion of growth and the passion of destruction are not going to be options for any sane person. Growth cannot take place unlimitedly. There have to be cycles of relaxation from the growth, so that after there is this relaxation, there can be again, after a period of regaining energy, a period of renewal, and a period of again coming into a new phase with new strength, with restored energy. This is the nature of life. This is the nature of existence. And we can either fight it or we can accept it. If you fight it, it's going to be a struggle. If you accept it, it's going to be very peaceful. And you will work with it in the most compatible way. Those who neglect this goodness are going to have to suffer different forms of pain, disappointment, struggle, so on, that will force them to understand. And it is very important that we understand that when we are weak, when we are tired, when we feel we need a break, that we take it, that we listen to our hearts, which are speaking to us, that we accept this, and we don't endeavor to grow when actually we simply need to rest. And I think it's important for us to understand this. I also am feeling very tired. I'm not sure why. Even today, I feel very enthused by speaking about this topic. It's something I like very much. I love this. Yet at the same time, inside I feel very tired, feeling the pain of others. I've also had conversations this week trying to help others, and I've become quite tired. So I was seriously considering, and I think I'll probably do it too, take a month or two break from this broadcasting starting this week, where I'm just going to renew and try to understand a little bit more about how I can be of service to you better, how I can share with you better. So if I take, I think, a 2 months break, it'll give me that opportunity to do so. Maybe I can go to the beach and sit there. I mean, can you realize I haven't had a vacation in years? I don't even know what the word means. And I feel that I have to take care of me. There's nothing really wrong. I feel okay. Health is not bad. I'm pretty strong. Brain is working great. I mean, it works the way it always works when it's working good. But, you know, I need a break. I'm not sure what I need a break from, and I'm not sure what I'm going to break to. But, hey, let's just see. And it's funny, you know, I'm always telling other people to take breaks. I'm always telling other people to take a vacation. And I never listen to my own advice. I never talk to myself in the mirror and say, hey, buddy, you know, you're human too. Who, me? Human? You must be kidding. I started feeling old some months ago. And that scared me. Because I never really felt old before. So I think I want to start feeling young again. So I have to just take a little break. And it was interesting also the way this lecture started with Gora trying to connect, and he couldn't connect, and he was banging on his wall, and his computer was breaking down, and his connection was breaking down. And I was just laughing, because it's so characterized. The struggles I've had with my own equipment and computers and this technology that I'm surrounded by all the time. I mean, It's really funny the way you see me behind my here, this what do you call it, backdrop, which is behind this. Actually, I'm surrounded by machines. I'm like an electrical transformer wrapped up in wires. I mean, I can show you. Look at this mess of computers. This is just a couple of them, and then this is the ones I'm using here. And you look down there, wires everywhere, wires, wires, and craziness, and insanity, and madness. And lights blinking, and warnings, and little things popping up in windows all the time, and fighting with these horrible Windows computers. Anyway. So, I need a break. And you know, for the last 4 weeks, Friday afternoon, everything breaks down on these Windows computers. Friday afternoon. And I'm pulling my hair out to get it ready for Saturday morning. And I've just come to see this is the universe speaking to me. The devas of computers are saying, listen to your beloved machines speaking to you. These LCD oracles talking to you about your future, and embrace their message. But it's important that we all accept these periods of reduced energy and rest. Look at the trees. In the winter, when it's cold, and they cannot grow because of the weather, they rest. They don't try to fight against the nature. They rest. And in the spring, they grow. So I think we should all learn a lesson from the trees. So I would like to leave you there and would like to wish you again a successful new year, one that is characterized by wisdom, one that is characterized by goodness. This is not really a time of growth. For some people, this can be a time of dissolution. But I would hope that for all of us, it's a time of maintenance, a time of fixing these things that are broken, a time of keeping things up, of maintaining them, our own bodies, our own energy, our own situation, maintenance, goodness, and wisdom. For this is, I think, the key for the upcoming year, so that we can be very well prepared for what I feel will be not a very nice 2009.